home for the NBA Finals, World Series, and college football's national championship. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
Instead, it is a half, and it is Morikawa indeed who provides the cup clincher for the United States. Official, the cup is back in the United States' hands.
They want to be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
If you didn't love that, you don't love America, okay? What Aaron just played, it was a dominant America. America dominated the world, all right? We are the greatest. And you know what? Golf is the greatest sport in history. And for us to be as dominant as we were over those people, you know, you had English and Irish and Spanish.
Scottish, Welsh.
Well, no, they didn't have any Scottish or Welsh. But you did have...
Maybe.
Yeah.
Some of those guys
you had
never heard of.
Victor Hovland. You know, you had those people... And guess what? We kicked the living snot out of them. Mm-hmm. So all their, we've won 7 of the last 9. Guess what? We're the champs, baby. And this is a new era of dominance, American dominance. I don't even know if we should play it anymore, as dominant as this country is. I don't know that our Astros, that our Astros could have played much worse than they did. Nothing going on. I got to ask you a question.
It's almost like they're, you know what it's like? It's like a kid who is, it's like a senior who's coming down to graduation, and they're and just like, you're having a hard time even getting them out of bed.
Yeah, right.
To go to classes. Their Astros like, can we just get to the summer?
Is this over yet? Is this over yet? Listen, they're not going to catch the Rays now. The Rays are coming to town. They start tomorrow night. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the A's here. Magic numbers 2. Seattle lost 1 game over the weekend. So if you win 1, they lose 1. The whole thing is over. If you win 2 games, the whole thing is over. You still got a 3-game lead on the White Sox, which is really 4 because you tiebreaker. You got the tiebreaker.
But you have lost 4 in a row. You're getting walked off like every damn day now.
But it really doesn't make any difference. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't make a difference except you're not playing.
You're not
best
playing.
Baseball headed into the playoffs.
Let me ask you this question, because there was a lot of controversy.
Last week we were peaking at the right time.
You know what's peaking at the right time? When the playoffs start.
Yeah, that's true.
That is. I mean, everybody, they're peaking just at the – no. Peaking is when the playoffs start. That's when you want to be peaking, because you could suck right up until then and then kick ass. Because right up until the Cardinals won like their 80th straight game, because they weren't playing very good baseball. But guess what? They are. Have you seen the Cardinals? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is unbelievable what they're doing.
They're on a monumental tear.
I mean, it is unbelievable how good they are right now. And they've got themselves in the postseason.
We've got a lot to get to about the playoffs because some stuff went down. Yankees are there now. The Yankees are going to be there. But staying on the Astros for a second.
Well, that's not guaranteed, but yeah, they got the lead now, right?
Well, I feel like they're going to do it. Here's one for me. Hold on, let me get this. Hey Siri, show me bad base running.
That was the question I was going to ask you.
Here it is. Siri runs again, and the ball is looped into right center for a hit. Siri is digging for third. He'll take a look back. He's going to try to score. The throw to the plate is there. He is out. So Siri tried to score from first on a single, and he is fast. But Tony Kemp got it. He threw home, called out.
He did have a stop sign, too. There's a wide-angle shot of the stop sign being given to him, and he ran through the stop sign. Just
so
trying to
so he says, I never saw the stop sign, first of all.
He may not. He said, obviously, he didn't see it.
He said, to be honest with you, I never saw the stop sign.
Because no one would have ever given him the go sign.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. And Mark Canha was in left field, and Mark Canha said this. It kind of scared the hell out of me when it happened. I took a peek as he was getting to third base. I just saw the third base coach hold him up. Then I heard a bunch of commotion. I was like, oh, my God, what's happening? Thank God Tony had the wherewithal to get the ball in quickly and made a great throw to put it right on the money. That guy can fly. If he doesn't make a perfect play on that one, that could have been a bad situation for us.
That's all true because you never have ever seen that happen, like ever. That's why the right fielder, I mean, you just throw it into the, you know, he went from first to third.
Did you see where Siri was when the ball got to the outfield?
No, I saw where he was.
He was almost at second base.
I saw where he was, but you don't go, that is not a go to home, except that's what it surprised. There's just a laissez-faire throw into the infield because you would never expect him to be
headed. And if Tony Kemp doesn't realize that he's going right away, he's in.
It was a great throw. It was a great throw.
I don't mind the play at all. The only problem I have with it is that Yordan Alvarez was on deck.
Yeah, that's why I do mind the play.
Well, yeah. But here's the deal is with two outs, you know, you got to come up with a hit. And I get it, Yordan Alvarez, but he'll get a hit.
Righty on righty?
You know, three, yeah, he'll get a
hit. Righty on lefty? I think it was a righty at the time.
It doesn't matter for Yordan. He hits righties and lefties. But you know what? I don't mind it. I don't mind that aggressive play in the ninth inning with two outs, especially when it was a bang-bang play at the plate. If Tony Kemp doesn't throw a perfect ball, he scores. I get it. Yordan was on deck and blah, blah, blah. Yordan, 7 out of 10 times, is not going to come up with a hit in that situation. In any situation, he's not going to come up with a hit 7 out of 10 times. I was actually okay with it in that the dude is – I like aggressive baseball. I don't think that was dumb baseball. I've seen the Astros have; they're bad at baseball.
You don't think that was
running.
Dumb trying to score from first on a single?
But he was almost at second base when the ball got to the outfield.
That's great, but I mean that's still way behind what you.
But when they threw into second base now, and he slowed around third. I'm telling
it's
you,
it's Yordan up at the plate. You got to give your guy a chance to basically win. Well, I shouldn't even say win the game because it's not like you know your bullpen's going to shut it down.
No.
I shouldn't even say win the game. Here's what was even more puzzling. Why did it take so long for the replay? He clearly didn't even touch home plate. At no point, his leg skid over. It was over the top.
Yeah.
In one angle they showed. I don't even think he touched the plate. I don't know what took so long on that.
They were trying to determine if the catcher was blocking the plate. If he had completely obstructed Siri's ability to touch the plate.
Oh, we'll see. And that is
against
the rules. That is a rule.
But he had
replays
like,
and radio broadcast replays.
The left foot was in front of the plate. There was a little bit. I don't know exactly how they determine what they determine by an opening because you can also always, you know. Now his whole body was not in front of it, and I'm sure they want to avoid the massive collisions. But I just think Siri's got to know the situation and. I'm fine with him being aggressive, but not in that. In that case,
he did block. No, the left
foot is actually in front of the plate.
It's guarding the plate. There's no question about it. There is no question about it. If, in fact, they wanted to apply that rule, they could have in this situation. They absolutely could have.
That makes a little more sense. But I'm from the school of that's not like you can still get in front of you can still get in. Despite that, that's not one that's going to stop you from scoring. It's a good way to get your ankle broken.
I'm not worried about him at all. I'm not worried about him at all. You know what? A bad weekend. This is such a long season. They got two walk-off losses. You know, the Friday night loss was just stupid. Who cares? Oh, well, you blew us out. Congratulations. And, oh, by the way, really nice job at the end of the season, A's, to really come up strong and sweep the Astros. No one cares.
I just don't like seeing Stanek and Presley struggle. I just don't like saying it. I mean, we're going into the playoffs, and I know this is the way it's going to be. Your bullpen's been an issue for much of the year. It was horrible early in the season. And now it's just you're dealing with a situation where you're going to go in, and you can say Astros Twitter can try to convince themselves that the bullpen's really good or whatever. I mean, it's always the same fight, is they'll throw out numbers. When we all know this is a bullpen right now that you just really – going in, you don't feel any better about them than you have any Astros bullpen headed into the postseason that has decent regular season numbers, but you know it's hard to trust them in the post. I don't really trust Ryan Presley to shut people down. I just don't. I definitely don't trust Stanek. You can tell me about a little run that Brooks Raley has had or whatever, but I don't see guys like I don't feel like it is a bullpen that I am going to entrust a lead for three innings with. That's my problem. Is I just don't see Graveman, Presley, who are the guys that are super trustworthy.
Listen. Who knows?
But it's always like that. I guess.
It always is. That's how we're going into a postseason. That's it. You know that. What are you going to do? Hey, Christian Javier looked unbelievable. Yeah.
Javier looked great.
You know
there.
What? Don't bring him back for the third inning. You got to get. Hey, is one of those where you go. It's not like it's Greinke who you go. Oh well, good outing. You sit down here because
you need to get out with a good inning.
Yeah.
A good outing.
That would be awesome.
Just two innings. He's punching people out. He's got that slow curveball working where he had the hitters off balance. You know, we were at Revelry watching games, me and Chris and Ross, and we had it where we could see all the football. We had four screens over here. It's been a long time since I've done this, and then we had the Astros on the screen behind us. And you know, you just kind of, it's like we're watching the football, but you always had the baseball to turn to and you could just keep up with it. And one of the storylines we were watching was Odorizzi because he needed four innings to get to that $500,000 bonus. And the pitch count, he was like 22 pitches an inning. I was just thinking, oh my God, is Odorizzi going to get knocked? And every inning people are on base and he had a chance to go to a bat, you know, an inning, get out of control on him. And all I could keep thinking of was he's going to get chased out of here in the third and the Astros are going to have to do something to get him to make sure he gets an inning. Because Dusty Baker's...
Well, he is starting the last game of the season.
Yeah, Well, I know he's supposed to, but he was going to get it. But it was still something I wanted to keep an eye on to see if he got to his... if he really had a big game, he might have been able to get all the way to the next bonus.
Right. But they're not going to keep him out there.
No.
Come here.
Well, he's not going to keep
him. Sit down over
here. He's not going to keep himself out there.
Jake, come sit by me over here. That's all. You're done. You're done for today.
Although he wasn't, the pitch count got high quickly, but it was, you were getting no hit through four. And it was not a great game, but then you took the lead. You had a 3-1 lead. Breggy bombed one out of there, and then you just couldn't hang on to it. The bullpen just couldn't get you through cleanly like you needed to in the Astros. Lost there. When we come back, though, we've got. Let's start off with the NFL. What took place yesterday?
Football weekend.
It was a great football weekend to watch games, and we'll start off with the headliner. I think we saw the NFC Championship game yesterday. I think that's going to be the NFC Championship game. We'll talk about that and how one ESPN analyst almost started crying this morning on the radio. Because he was so upset about the injustice for a quarterback.
We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. And there is it is unbelievable what people or what the other dealerships are doing out there. I was blown away. I was with Patrick Chastang on Thursday. We had lunch. And then we went and watched the Cougs on Saturday night and had a great time. And Patrick told me, he said, you know what other guys are doing? It's just ridiculous. Is they're adding on a 5 or $10,000 add on to these vehicles, and it's just like ridiculous. Patrick says we will never do that. We're not adding on. When we come to an agreement with somebody about what they're going to pay, and what we're going to do is make sure that what you're in the payments that you have to make. When we come to an agreement, we'll never come back at you and say, oh, you need this or you need that or there's some transactional fee or there's something. When you come to an agreement on a price at Chastang Ford, that's it, period, exclamation point. You're going to love doing business with these people. They're honest, straightforward. Everything about it is right there in front of you, and they're going to do the hardest job. They're going to work the hardest they possibly can to get you in that car or truck that you have to have. Perfectly customized for you. It's at ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Go to Chastang Ford.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, what about this football weekend? It was I don't know, it was nice not having to watch the Texans. I can't, you know, I don't want to be like that, but it was nice, you know, being able to watch all the games this weekend and enjoy the football weekend.
It was.
There was a lot of good football played.
Maybe the Texans could play every Thursday.
That would be awesome.
I mean, it's kind of like those games anyway, every Thursday. Next week is Cincinnati and Jacksonville.
Right.
I mean, you know, let the Texans just play Thursdays.
What about Jacksonville getting a little spicy at the end of the half and having that play and leading Arizona?
I'll tell you what's crazy. Right now, say what you want to, the rookie quarterback playing the best is Trevor Lawrence. Even after his, if you go look at everything, you know who was terrible yesterday was Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Mac Jones really, really struggled. He wasn't as bad as
Trey Lance is playing the best.
Well, I can't, he doesn't qualify. Not enough at bats.
Well, he still is playing better than the other ones.
You got to have more plate appearances if you're Trey Lance.
Yeah, that is
true.
He's
just put in there like near the goal line.
That's
and
it.
Stuff.
But at least he performs near the goal line.
Minimum pass attempts 20.
Okay.
So now Davis Mills is in there. It went like this week.
Is Trey Lawrence really? I mean, is Trevor Lawrence really playing better than Davis Mills?
Yeah, I would say he
has. It's close, though.
It may be close-ish, but yeah, he has. You can go look at the numbers, too. He's getting better, too. He's getting better. I would say but it's not great. It's
no,
not rookie. I mean, Jamar Chase is rookie of the year.
Was just...
So, yeah, it's not great. It goes like this. Yesterday's performance went Trevor Lawrence, followed by rookie quarterbacks this week. Trevor Lawrence, Davis Mills, Mac Jones.
And Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, if you get 29 yards passing, like Justin Fields, he's got to be last place. I know he got sacked a bunch. Zach Wilson, who's not playing well, and then Justin Fields. And others who need to receive votes if he can get enough plate appearances, Trey Lance. It really, yesterday was a clear-cut case of why when the situation is not a great situation, you bring guys along slowly. San Francisco's just sitting there chilling with Trey Lance. They're getting him into certain packages. And you know what's happening in Chicago? Justin Fields was almost bludgeoned to death. Mac Jones was completely overwhelmed by the New Orleans Saints. Completely. And Zach Wilson looks like he has no business playing pro football right now. I mean, it was really bad for those rookies yesterday. Mac Jones was just you never had a chance against the New Orleans Saints. And I know, because I was minus the points. I was buying into Mac Jones hype. He never had a chance. He looked completely overwhelmed by that defense.
The Jets.
The Jets are 0 points.
So, dude, this is coming. Honestly, when you look how they're playing, Detroit, you got Detroit. Can we play?
Yeah,
how Detroit lost this game, which could come down at the end of the season. This could be costly to the Houston Texans. This play,
yeah,
right here,
for draft
could be
purposes.
Very costly.
Absolutely,
at the end
about
of the
that.
Season. Here's Justin Tucker.
Let's hear what it sounds on the winning. I want to hear what it sounds like. You got both kicks. Hear what it sounds
Ravens
like. You're a Baltimore Ravens fan. Justin Tucker comes out, Mr. Opera, the killer, the GOAT of all kickers in NFL history, trying an NFL record 66-yarder after a long touch or long pass by Lamar Jackson on like a 4th and 19. Here is what it sounds like from the winning side.
A 66-yard field goal try for Justin Tucker. It would be the longest in NFL history if it's good. A 66-yard try. Tucker's kick is on the way. It is
good.
Crossbar, and it tumbles through. It is good. Time has expired. Justin Tucker with the longest field goal in NFL history. The hay is in the barn, and it's mayhem on the field.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
You've just seen history.
Lost my mind.
You have just seen and heard history.
That I'll be honest with you. That play-by-play announcer, that was way too professional. That is good. We've just said what a tremendous kick. The hay is in the barn. The buckets are in the trolley, and the children are going to sleep. good night, Nancy, and kiss the kids goodbye. I'm going to have a pop. Like, what kind of... Stop trying
that
to be Mr. This is 66 yard. Give me more of the
Jerry
color commentator.
Yeah.
It probably was.
It is Jerry Sandusky.
He's out of prison?
No,
is he alive?
Not that one.
Oh.
Because he had death threats.
No, it's unfortunately the same name.
It's the same
now,
name.
I'll bet you we get an appropriate amount of disappointment from the Lions call. Let's listen to the Detroit Lions get beat by a ball that literally, if you didn't see it, have you ever seen
hit
this in NFL?
The crossbar and go over?
It hit the crossbar, went straight up into the air, and you couldn't tell which way it was going to fall. And then it fell to the right side if you were a Ravens fan, the wrong side if you're a Lions. And as you pointed out,
the Ravens in the suicide pool, then you were very, very happy.
Well, and if you're the Texans worried about draft position, I hadn't even thought about that until now.
This is bad.
That was a big one because you ain't going to be worse than the Jets, I don't think.
No.
All right, here's what it sounds like if you're a Lions fan.
Tucker's ready. There's the snap. Spot down. Kick on the way. It is up and it is off the crossbar and through. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Justin Tucker from 66 hit the crossbar and it bounced through. And the Ravens are celebrating on the field. The longest field goal in the history of the NFL has just beaten the Detroit Lions.
It's not enough. There's not enough disappointment in there.
I don't know what happened.
That's
just unbelievable, Dan. Just unbelievable. We
it
just
hit
watched
the crossbar
it.
And bounced through.
We just watched history.
Can't believe what I just saw.
And there's just not enough disappointment. Of course, how disappointing are you? Disappointing is it when the Lions lose? If you're going to be that disappointed every time the Lions lose, you're going to live a miserable
existence.
That guy
sounded. That guy had more excitement about the call than the guy from the winning side from Baltimore. It did sound like Vandermeer.
That sounds like a higher pitched version of Vandermeer.
It did have a Vandermeerish vibe.
So now, honestly, okay. If give me the top five teams that are picking in the NFL draft. Next year.
Who I think they will be?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to say Jets for sure, Jags. Lions are a little frisky. I'm going to go Texans.
Ooh, a Bears? In front of the Bears?
Yeah, I think the Bears will eventually.
Do you?
Colts?
No, the Colts?
They're 0-3. I mean, Texans have better records.
I mean, they're 0-3 with a quarterback with two sprained ankles, and Quentin Nelson was carted off yesterday. I think the Colts have been
Colts
in eight games.
Team.
Colts are a better team. They won't be there. But no one in the West. Let's see. The North, no. Vikings got there against Seattle.
Cincinnati's playing okay.
Cincinnati. The Steelers aren't playing great, but doesn't matter.
They'll be fine.
Oh, what about the what is Washington now?
No, Washington is 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. They're
Giants?
Ooh.
They lost yesterday to the Falcons. NYG. I'm putting them in there. And honestly, the Falcons aren't that.
No, Falcons are terrible too. They're going to be right there.
That was a battle of the terribles. Let me see. You got Tampa, the Saints, Carolina. None of those teams. And then the AFC South. Yeah, I'd say Texans, Jags, Jets, Giants.
You're going to have.
I mean, I honestly, the Bears were atrocious.
They're atrocious.
Yesterday.
They're bad.
And it's
that offensive line is horrible.
It's horrible. And Fields isn't ready yet. And they're going to have to go. They're going to go back to Dalton.
Well, they're going to go back to Dalton. Guess what?
Point.
That's a top five pick.
And Dalton is a dinky dunky. So, I mean, Bears might be.
The Texans could possibly, right now, looking at it, the Texans could draft sixth.
What about the Dolphins?
We're supposed to tank.
What about the Dolphins?
Oh, hey, I like to wait.
Well, the Dolphins fought back yesterday.
Listen, they look good. They actually look pretty good. Yeah.
Well, they got off to a 14-0 start and got outscored 25-0.
And then they came back. Brissett looked pretty damn good.
They came back. Yeah, he battled. I mean, he's good enough to battle through for you. He's a quality backup.
I don't know if they're not better off with him
than Tua. I guess we know why they're going after Deshaun. We've got more Deshaun Watson. As a matter of fact, when we come back, apparently there is, according to Jay Glazer, who apparently is the only one who has any sources at all inside the Texans. Because he's the only one talking about this. Jay Glazer We've got sound from Jay Glazer. There is some new Deshaun Watson information, and this one I think is intriguing if you're a Texans fan. We come back, we'll get right to it. Right now, I want to tell you about Simple Seats. I'm looking here at Simple Seats, and so if you go to StubHub, at Simple Seats, I can get four tickets for tomorrow's Astros game in the lower infield area, four tickets for $200. No delivery fee, no service fee. That's what it costs. It costs $200. They don't have fees like that. I go to StubHub, and I get the same four seats for $69, and that's before they even hit me with their convenience fees. It is a massive upcharge for the same tickets, and the same thing is the case at Ticketmaster. Same thing is the case at all these ticket sites. Here's the bottom line. It's Simple Seats. It's real simple. You can choose either your individual seats or you can choose zones. And zone seating, to me, is one of the best ways to go because you get an even deeper discount. You can go to simpleseats.com. There's never any convenience fees, delivery fees, no fees. Whatever the price is on the ticket, that's the only price you're going to pay. Go to simpleseats.com. Use promo code Lance10 for a 10% discount on your first purchase over $25. So go to that game tomorrow for the Astros and experience these amazing seats at the lowest rates you can find anywhere on the market at simpleseats.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Time for me to talk about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. And no matter what it is that you need done, Jeff Aronoff can get that. Well, it's got to be a big job, though. You want to put in an outdoor patio or a kitchen. You want to change that whole kitchen. You want to put in new cabinets and countertops and everything else. And it's something that you need to do. And Jeff Aronoff is here for you. And he will get to your house and he will design it as well. You want to change all those bathrooms, new dens, whatever. You know, when we had the funds, when we had Harvey, Jeff was out there. It was unbelievable how many, you know, people needed him. And Jeff was there. And again, after the cleanup and everything else, and you got to rebuild all the houses, Jeff was there and he got that job done. And it was unbelievable how, you know, how you improve your home, and you have to improve your home. I mean, we hope we don't have another hurricane that causes that. You got to do it on your own, though. If you haven't redone your home or added on or improved, and you've had the home for 10, 15, 20 years, got to get this job done, people. Call Jeff Aronoff and let's go. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute Marble and Granite. Tell them you heard it right here.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, they're showing Justin Fields get 4.5 sacks by Myles Garrett. I thought after the Chandler Jones 5, I was like, hey, ain't nobody getting caught. 4.5. It was a ridiculous.
It's a combination of two things. Number one, Myles, how about this? I've got these next-gen stats that NFL sends us on email. And, where is it? I got to get this. Here we go. Myles Garrett, 7 quarterback pressures, 4.5 sacks on 25 pass rush snaps. He had a pressure rate of 28%. That means, obviously, more than 1 out of every 4 he was getting near the quarterback. And that's measured on where the chip in your shoulder pads are. Next to the chip. It's not a subjective measurement. It's a physical. It's a measurement that is picked up by the computer chips, like the GPS, how close you are to the quarterback. How about this? Justin Fields was pressured on 55.2% of his dropbacks on Sunday, third highest by any quarterback in a game since 2020. Minimum 14 snaps. I would have thought it would be even worse than that, but. Here's the problem. Number one, you got a really bad left tackle out there going up against and Tevin Jenkins, their first-round pick, offensive lineman. He's out with a back injury. So their offensive line is bad. Newsflash, Shannon Sharp mentioned this, though, yesterday. This is the same bad offensive line for Andy Dalton, and it wasn't a whole lot better, although it was better with Charles Leno. It was not a whole lot better for Mitchell Trubisky, but it's the same line that Andy Dalton has had. And Andy Dalton, if you look at his numbers, he got the ball. And this is the difference. And this is why I think if there's, you know, my feeling was if there's one player who is going to be capable of handling this, it's Justin Fields because he is more mobile. But the problem with this, and this is the reason why the Bears have been slow. Yesterday, you saw one of the reasons the Bears have been slow. Yes, we know the offensive line bad. Dan, Dan Orlovsky almost started crying on the radio this morning because Justin Fields was you know, Dan Orlovsky got in trouble for saying something about Justin Fields pre-draft. Twitter taught him a lesson. They whipped his ass. And now he is Mr. Captain Justice.
Something about character concerns.
Yeah. Right? He's now Mr. Captain Justice for Justin Fields must be protected by all means necessary. And none of this could be his fault. He actually said this morning they didn't give him a chance to play well at all. This is all on the offensive line and Matt Nagy. A lot of that is true. I think Matt Nagy could have game planned it way, way better. There's no question.
It was negligence. The offense, coaching negligence.
Yeah, coaching negligence, he called him, and willful negligence, and he should be fired. And Keyshawn's like, hold on, bro. He's like, it's not that easy. It's not. They're not going to just get rid of him now. But there's no question Justin Fields was hurt by a bad offensive line. There's just no way around it, and I think the game plan was bad. Justin Fields also, as we saw in preseason when he got his head taken off, that was a very easy blitz look. You slide your protection that way, or you read hot that way. And this is in the preseason, if you remember seeing him get his helmet knocked off, and it was a very scary sign to people in the offensive line community and quarterback community that Justin Fields did not see that, did not recognize it, didn't know how to get himself protected. Yesterday was a great example of when he was pressured, he didn't know. He's in this game just like when Andy Dalton was at this offensive line, he understood what he had and he got the ball out quickly. Justin Fields he's just not experienced enough. He doesn't know. And he right now, he's not processing quickly enough. His head's spinning. No, like most rookies, he's just a slow processor right now. And I saw some of the same stuff with Mac Jones yesterday. They're just not getting, they don't recognize the pressure and get it out. And Justin Fields' problem is he tries to scramble away from it, and all it did was make it worse, because once you try to scramble over the top of tackles, we see this with David Carr, where he would run into some sacks. You know, you move up inside the pocket. You don't try to go up and around, because Myles Garrett is a freak daddy. Jadeveon Clowney is a freak daddy. You're not going to be able to run away from those guys in the NFL. You're not playing Minnesota.
Right.
You're not playing for the silver bucket and the old wooden spoon. This isn't the same. And Justin Fields is not ready from a understanding protection standpoint to deal with an offensive line that bad. Now, you give him the Texans offensive line, I think Justin Fields would be okay out there with the Texans pass protection.
Yeah.
I think look what the Texans for Davis Mills did against that offensive line. Davis Mills had time to throw. Look at what Justin Fields had. No time to throw. Same defense. So it tells you something. The Texans' offensive line compared to the Bears is better. Justin Fields and Matt Nagy have to know what they're dealing with, and they got to get the ball out quicker. Matt's got to call plays that forces Justin's hand, and you really, frankly, have to super, super simplify right now for Justin Fields until he recognizes his protection issues and where to go with the football, because it is an issue right now. And it's one of the reasons, frankly, that Matt Nagy and the Bears understood we gotta go a little slower. But it's not their fault. But then I saw people, why are you throwing him out to the Wolves? And the starting quarterback got hurt.
Yeah.
He's the backup. This is his job. Guess what? Trey Lance is coming in the game if Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt. That's what's going to happen, even though they want to treat him like the Kansas City Chiefs treated Pat Mahomes and, you know, give him a little time, because there's some... I see it. I understand it. So right now, Tampa is the team who gets to be... The Texans were that team who'd get to bring Davis Mills along slowly. Tampa is getting to do what they want to do, which is bring an FCS quarterback along slowly. But these other quarterbacks right now in the league, man, it's baptism by fire. And the only guy that's really holding up... Mac Jones has been okay. Yesterday was really bad. But Trevor Lawrence, I watched a lot of that game. He's hanging in okay. I mean, he's not where he needs to be. He's making some slow decisions. He's not seeing it quickly enough because he's not throwing with the anticipation either. None of these quarterbacks
Well,
are.
It's all fast for these guys.
It's really fast.
It's really
but remember,
fast.
Justin, and this came back to haunt him, the game's really slow to me right now.
Yeah,
the game looks. The game feels really slow to me right now. He said it in the preseason. Not anymore, does it? This is the regular season with first teamers.
Yeah, it's a little different. All right, still ahead. Bill Ingram joins us at the top of the hour, senior NBA analyst for Basketball Insiders. We're going to talk to him about what's going on with the Rockets and a possible John Walsh, a possible Ben Simmons. We'll talk to him about that. He said, I can do an hour on Ben Simmons and why he doesn't fit the Rockets. So he's got sense.
Just give me a hot 2 minutes and I'm good with it. Speaking of trades.
Bob Nightingale is going to join us at 8:30. So we'll talk about our Astros and what's going on with the final week of the season. So we got that going on. And then there's Deshaun and Jay Glazer. And Jay Glazer says that the Texans, I would imagine Nick Caserio called Jay Glazer and said, hey, Jay, what are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing, Nick? Nothing. I just want you to know, I think we're going to lower our asking price for Deshaun Watson, just so you can put that out there. Everybody good? Yeah, everybody's good. See you. All right, we'll talk later then.
Bye.
I'll call you again as soon as I've got any more information for you. Because that's how Nick Caserio is. He likes to give the media everything.
Chatty.
He's a chatty Cathy. So he's going to give Jay Glazer, I'm certain, he called him up and said, listen, and then when you're in town, let's go to dinner.
Are you telling me you think Glazer's just pulled that out of his butthole?
Yeah.
So, you do? I don't, Glazer doesn't do that.
Well,
Glazer's getting it from somebody.
Well,
I don't know if
it's
Nick.
He's getting it from somebody, but I don't know that it's a...
I don't know if it's Nick, but it's probably inside the building with the Texans.
He also...
Unless he got it from, like, Miami or another team that's talking to the Texans. That's possible, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that...
It could be Bob Lamont. Maybe he gets it from the agent, Bob Lamont, who has Nick Caserio. Maybe that's a way Nick can get stuff out without having to have a direct conversation. I don't know. Jay has been pretty well connected for a long time. If Jay Glazer says that, I do tend to listen. Here's the sound. As a matter of fact,
all right, let's
you
hear
got it, right? It's in the...
No, you don't have it? Oh, no.
Yeah, I watched... Oh, it's on Jay's... Go to Jay's Twitter page. It's pinned. It's literally the first thing that's up there. I'm sorry, I thought that was on your... It's on his Twitter page. It's the first thing. It's Jay Glazer talking about... here's Jay. Are you ready? Okay. We'll have it in a second. But Jay Glazer has said the Texans have softened their stance.
Have they?
When they're going to have to if they're asking for more than six picks.
So of all of the reports about the Deshaun Watson trade or not and everything else, what has come to pass so far?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Well, it can't.
Yeah. So of all the things that everybody is, oh, it's the Dolphins. Oh, the Denver's talking. Oh, everybody's. What has come to pass? Absolutely nothing.
I tell you what, I'm going to lose my cool on this show if they deal Deshaun Watson for 70 cents on the dollar. I'm going to lose my cool because if you just have patience, you're going to get your value.
Yeah.
If you lose patience this year, when you don't even know what the draft picks are going to be, you know, unless a team pays your asking price, you do not move.
Well, if it's 3 ones and 3 threes, if that's the asking
Well, supposedly
price,
that was what was offered, and
right,
they said
right.
no.
Oh, okay. And
so
they
said
no.
It was more.
And they said no. So if they take less than that, then it will be a big loss. It will be a big loss.
Well,
here's Jay Glazer.
I like 3 ones to start with, but
yeah,
here's
that's
Jay.
Right. That's right.
I like
but
3 ones to start
be
with.
More.
Yeah.
There's got to be more. And here's Jay Glazer.
Is there any chance they now turn to Deshaun Watson?
Nope, not at all. Deshaun Watson's made it clear he does not want to play for the Houston Texans. But it's interesting because while we went into this season, the Texans really were not fielding phone calls. They really weren't. They weren't open to trade talks unless somebody was going to give them a ridiculous trade offer. More than 6 draft picks. They've already been offered 3 ones and 3 threes. Wanted more of that. However, I was told that this past week, their stance started to soften a little bit with that. The interesting part, you look down at Miami with Tua going down, that'd be an obvious trade partner. However, remember this. If they end up trading Deshaun Watson right now, he's eligible to play. He's eligible to play next week. He's not on the commissioner's exempt list. He's not on any suspension list. So he can play immediately. It's just to see if the Texans can actually soften their stance even more and possibly send him out of town. But no, he's not going to play.
Regardless, right?
Yep. He is not playing for them.
All right. Another quarterback.
We know he's not playing.
So wait a minute. There's soften their stance even more.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
He said they've softened their stance on what they're taking. As Jay said, it was, you know, the asking price was 6 picks plus more, even more than that. And so he said they've softened their stance. We don't know what softened their stance means. It's less than that. But even where they are right now, a deal's not going to get done unless they come down more. And here's the thing that scares me. If you come down more, it likely means that you're telling a team, we will make alterations to this deal if Deshaun Watson is suspended for a certain amount. If you're the Texans, it is going to be, what is it called with houses? It's as is. This is a as is trade. You get Deshaun Watson, we will sell you this house as is. There is no special circumstances. Because you know going in. And if, listen, Dolphins, the Dolphins already stuck it in you. You've already been stabbed to death.
Whoa.
I said stabbed to death. You've already been stabbed to death by the Dolphins on that Tunsil trade. They got two ones. Then you called back asking for Kenny Stills, and they said, give us a two. And Bill O'Brien, I got that from the Dolphins. Bill O'Brien's like, okay, a two for Kenny Stills. I mean, this guy couldn't have been dumber. Couldn't have been a dumber GM. You gave up two ones and a two for Kenny Stills and Laremy Tunsil, and you didn't even get a contract deal done with Laremy Tunsil. So what basically happened is the Dolphins jacked you. They said, get your food, get out. JD's Gafflin right off the America's Most Wanted Ice Cube album. Now, what's happened is the Texans now have all the juice. They have all the leverage. And if the Miami Dolphins want to play, if they want to come to play, you'll now do what we say. And your owner who wants Deshaun so much, then you give us what we're looking for. And we're not giving you discounts. And we're also, we may discount it to a lower solid price. Like if you got three ones, a two, and a four, I'm pretty good with that. I'm pretty good with that, to be honest with you. I'd be willing to do that. Three ones, a two, and a four.
Okay.
I'd be willing to consider
that. If that's softening your stance, then okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be willing to talk about that for sure. But here's the thing. I'm not going to go in there and tell you, well, this one becomes a two if Deshaun's suspended.
No.
As is. You know the deal.
That's it.
We're not playing this game. If you want Deshaun, okay, I tell you what. How about we do this, Dolphins? How about let's talk again in February at the Combine once everyone's got quarterback needs now and you've got to deal with, you know, and you got to deal with Deshaun possibly going to one of two other places. Let's put some other horses in the race and let's see what happens if Deshaun says he'll play for the Pittsburgh Steelers because he likes their weapons. Let's see what happens now. Because as I told everybody, the Steelers are in desperate need of a quarterback. In desperate need.
Really
the Falcons are going to need a quarterback. We'll see on the Eagles.
I don't know that Deshaun will go there. I don't know that Deshaun will go there.
It's not great, but he's got Pitts.
All right.
And he's got Calvin Ridley. It's not a great situation.
I want to start something new here on the show this morning. On Mondays, what we learned over the weekend, something we learned over the weekend in one sentence.
Anything
that you learned over the weekend in one sentence.
It could be somebody
and
can't
we want
handle
you
their alcohol.
In. We want to go around the horn. 713-780-3776.
Fill it up.
Fill it up. I mean, there's so much that happened that we just don't get to. Something that might be important to you. Like the dude that calls about the pitcher from Cyprus. You know what? If that kid pitched, and I forget his name, Shane Baz.
Yeah.
If he pitched this weekend and you want to talk.
If
your high school football team won and had a big win over the weekend, you want that, that's fine. If you
Aggies,
want to bring that.
Longhorns.
Oh, my gosh.
Pro football.
Ohio State. Clemson. There's all kinds of stuff to talk about here. So around the horn in one sentence, 713-780-3776.
What you learned.
I told you I went to lunch with Patrick Chastain, and Patrick Chastain told me, he said, hey, I use Billy over at Aqueduct Plumbing.
Oh, good.
Yeah. He said, I've been using them. He said, they were so unbelievable during the freeze. Patrick had a neighbor, an older woman, a widow. She was by herself, and she had water. And Patrick called Billy, and he called up to Aqueduct and said, "Listen, this is a real dire situation. Can you guys get over there?" Boom. I mean, as busy as they were, Billy said it was unbelievable. It could have been weeks before they could get to her. They said, "We'll be right over." They came. They shut off her water. They fixed her pipes. And she, you know, and that's kind of a big deal. That's the kind of attention that you're going to get, especially. And that's the kind of, when it's a locally owned and operated company, you're going to get that kind of service.
Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Make sure that you go to the website, thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com. For all the jobs John just talked about, tankless water heaters, even leaky faucets, that's your company, thebenchplumbing.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
See you guys on hold. We're getting to you in about 90 seconds, but really quickly, I want to make sure that all four of you on the line and everyone else listening knows that you can go to the big car show going on, 4th annual at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. It's out in Angleton. You head out there on Saturday, October 9th, and you, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you're going to see some amazing classic cars and classic trucks. It looks fantastic. The people who are into this culture really get into this culture. They keep the cars looking fantastic, dress them up. And if you're somebody who is a car culture person, then this is the place to go. It's the 4th annual. They're on October 9th, 10 to 2. Bring your kids out there. Bring your buddies out there, your girlfriend, whoever you are. Make sure you get out there and check them out for yourself. But they also have food trucks, so they'll have a lot of food out there for you to enjoy and experience. So it's going to be a good time. And while you're out there, take a little peek at the cars, trucks, and SUVs at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC at LanceZCars.com.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:51. We got about six, 7 minutes. Let's go real quick. Here's the deal. When somebody hangs up, you can call in. It is what happened this weekend in one sentence. You got one sentence to let us know what you learned, something that you learned this weekend. And I will start. The AFC West is upside down. Lance, you're next.
I would say the Texas A&M Aggies have problems moving forward.
Julian is next. Julian, what did you learn this weekend?
The 49ers have the worst strength and conditioning coach in the whole entire NFL.
Somebody bet on the 49ers. 713-780-3776. Julian is off, so you can get in. Lefty, what's up?
Vegas strippers are expensive.
That's what you learned this
I wanted a follow-up on that one.
I was looking at the AFC West, and he's looking at Vegas strippers.
We'll see, but that's
somebody
how this,
had a better weekend.
But that's how this game is played. Well, did he have a better weekend? His sentence expensive. Was... It's expensive.
Yeah, you know who else was expensive? Betting on rookie quarterbacks like Wilson, Zach Wilson.
Every single one of them were point spread losers.
Every single one was
a point spread loser.
Ben, what's going on, Ben?
Our third round pick might be the best quarterback in the draft of last year.
Who's that? Say it again.
Who might?
Our third round pick might be the best.
Davis Mills.
Davis Mills. You know what?
It's a low bar right now.
John, what'd you learn this weekend?
Unequivocally, without a doubt, my fat old ass could play better than some of the A&M offensive linemen for at least one set of downs. Guaranteed, not a joke. I really believe this.
Okay. That's a run-on sentence, but it might be accurate.
It was a run-on sentence.
It's a run-on sentence, but it might be accurate.
713-780-3776. Will, what did you learn this weekend, Will?
Americans are good at golf.
Thank you. Good night. Will.
I mean, honestly, what an ass kicking that was. Wasn't that great, though?
19-9. It was the best.
You didn't have to sweat it at all.
Not a drop of sweat.
I thought we were going to win. No, you fought wrong.
Okay. David is next. What's going on, David?
Nathan Piedmont will not be drafted in the second round.
That's not a real person. Hang up on him. That's one of his fake names. That's not a real... What do you call him?
Mason Piedmont.
That's not... It sounds like it could be real. I mean, he's really good at this game.
I don't know, but that's...
I didn't know it was a game I didn't know it was a game we all needed to play. But Mason Piedmont, yeah, he's not going to get drafted because he's not a real person.
713-780-3776.
Trying to trick us.
3776. Thomas, what'd you learn this weekend?
After all the looking I've done for the love of my life, I think I finally found her, and it's Judy Dickinson.
It's who?
Judy Dickinson. You don't know that.
No, I don't want to know about that. I don't want to know that.
All right, Tom is next. What's up, Tom? What'd you learn this weekend?
Rodgers still has it.
Aaron Rodgers does have it, bro.
I thought he was done. Yeah. I thought he was over.
Yeah, it was over after week one.
He's not invested in it. He's over.
Is it Nico or Mito? This is usually Mito.
Mito.
Go ahead.
If you see Derrick Henry on the field, get out of his way.
That's it. If you see Derrick Henry on the field,
I can tell you. You know what he's talking about? Like Darius Leonard tried to come off of a block and get in his way, and he got bounced 2 yards back. Darius Leonard's not a – he's a linebacker.
That's what Derek Henry
And then does. Another Colt at one point on a different run, he grabbed his right arm and he basically punched one of the Colts safeties in the face and knocked him down.
Love that.
Mito. Was telling the truth right there.
Brandon, what'd you learn this weekend?
As a Cardinal fan, I'm a little bit worried, but the Los Angeles Rams are really good.
Yes, the Los Angeles Rams are really good.
I'll tell you what, I liked them this week, though. Yeah. It just felt like a good spot for them. Cooper
at
Kupp.
At home, that place was, that. Yeah.
I think you're looking at your MVP right now.
Cooper Kupp?
Mm-mm, Matt Stafford.
I like Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, Cooper's playing great. Oh my God. I think Matt Stafford.
And one last one, do not immediately after a football game tweet F Ohio State.
Say that
otherwise,
story.
Otherwise.
Say that story.
You're going to be kicked off the team. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, you mean you take your clothes off in the middle of the field? In the field? Wasn't the first sign?
Undressing as you're leaving.
And this, and you can keep this. And there's a game going on, Kayvon. You're still a Buckeye. What are you doing?
So there's that.
All right. That's a good game. What did you learn?
On the other side, Bill Ingram is going to join us.
Can I give you another one real quick? My wife needs to stop at 3 gin and tonics, not 4.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I learned that.
You learned that this
weekend? I knew it. I had it. Yeah. Yeah. But we had a good time, though. We went and saw her boyfriend, Rhett Miller.
I'm just the opposite. My wife needs to keep going at 2 bottles of wine, 2.5 bottles of wine.
Needs to keep going?
Love that. time for you, my friend, to talk about what's he got here? Underdog.
Oh, sweet. So, Underdog. I got to check my results, as a matter of fact. I didn't check them yesterday. I was out of town and did not get in, unfortunately. I didn't get in with my Underdog teams this week. I did earlier in the week play some of the pick 'em stuff. So, what it is, they've got the daily fantasy. You can do that. They've got Monday Night Football. So, you got Monday Night Football fantasy with Dallas, and you're going to pick 5 players, no quarterbacks. You'll pick 5 players on Underdog fantasy. You can get into larger games, or you can get into small games, 6 people, 3 people, 4 people, even head to head matchups for a chance to win. You also have pick 'em contests going on where, when I say pick 'em, over under contest, you pick the over or under on, you know, fantasy points or yards gained or touchdowns or strikeouts for baseball. You can cross Mary sports, and you can go anywhere from 2 to 5 picks. If you do 5, it pays 20 times what your original play was, but even 2 is going to pay you at 6 times the amount. So make sure that you go to underdogfantasy.com and experience all that goodness. All your skill in fantasy football has got a chance to pay off in real cash for you. Underdogfantasy.com, use promo code radio for a $25 bonus on your first deposit.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.